Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Recently, I was having a conversation with a friend and lamenting those moments in our lives where you're talking with someone or responding to an email, and about 2 seconds after you say something, or after you hit the send button, you are filled with a sense of, oh, I know better, why did I do that? Look at that, I got trapped again. Oh, there's that old reactive pattern right there. I could have stopped it 2 seconds ago, I could have stopped it, and you're desperately trying to pull back into you whatever it is that you just said. We were commenting that as much as you might have a whole week full of really beautiful and gracious and kind conversations, but it'll be that one stupid thing that you said that haunts you for a whole night. But as this holiday season is wrapping up, I was reflecting once again on how at the beginning of every Advent, with the best intentions, with the greatest desire for myself and for the children and for the parish, to help keep things as calm as possible and as focused on the coming of our Lord and the blessings of peace and hope and joy that that brings, invariably it devolves into this frenetic one thing after another. Do we have enough stocking stuffers? If Charlie has 6 things to open under the tree, what about Teddy? I mean, all of a sudden I find myself, you know, sucked into the materialism and sort of that vortex that Christmas preparations brings with it. There are so many areas in our lives where we may feel very generous and giving and open about our money, but feel in our hearts that we can be stingy and closed and hoarding something, or vice versa. We can be very giving and open and generous with our time, and when it comes to our money, get very paranoid and fearful and tight. As human beings, we have always lived with balancing, with trying to find a middle ground, with holding together sometimes conflicting polarities. In every religious system, in every philosophical system throughout human history, this sense of dualism, of polarity, has in some way been present. Whether, you know, in our own holy scriptures, it's set up as the dualism between God and creation. Of course, we know that God is infused through all of creation, but that has been one of the primary dualisms that's been set up. Or related to that, good and evil, light and dark, male and female, the yin and the yang in our Eastern brothers and sisters and their faith traditions. One of the greatest challenges that we have as human beings is to maintain an integrated sense of who we are as beloved children of God. There is no place in Holy Scripture where we read that God despises the dark. In fact, God created the dark. Jesus himself ate with outcasts and sinners. There is no place where it shows Jesus choosing one side of the equation over the other. Yet when we read gospel lessons like we have before us this morning, where we have this fairly fire and brimstone account of what will happen when Jesus comes, with his winnowing fork in his hand, clearing the threshing floor, gathering the wheat, but burning the chaff. If we're not careful, that can feed into this dualistic notion that I'm a bad person when I send the snarky email, and God only loves me when I'm able to be kind and thoughtful and responsive. This may be because I spent so many years in the South, and I heard a lot of fire and brimstone sermons that they do seem to emphasize that you are only beloved when you are in righteousness. And if you're not careful, you could end up on the threshing room floor. But again, there is no place in our experience of Jesus through Holy Scripture where his message is, if you're sick, if you're wounded, if you've made a mistake, if you have fallen away, if you're the prodigal son, if you're the lost sheep, forget about it, you're going to burn. That's not what Jesus teaches. So how else might we come to understand this image of the wheat that is gathered into the granary and the chaff that is burned, that Jesus sorts through and burns an unquenchable fire? Having not ever spent much time with wheat in my life other than eating it, I had to imagine that corn is very much like wheat in that there is the stalk. I mean, we know what wheat plants look like. There is a stalk, and then the corn, the part that we eat, is actually encased in the husks and those little irritating silks that are so hard to get off the corn. But if we imagine in our mind that image of the strong shaft and the kernel of the corn and all of the husks encasing it, there would be no corn without the shaft and the husk. Those things are essential to the growing of the corn. In fact, for the majority of the lifespan of the corn, you have to have the shaft and the husks encasing the corn, or else it would never survive. Now, those things become the chaff when you cut down the corn, when you harvest the corn, and we take the husks off so we can grill it or boil it. Those are the things that fall to the floor and that have to be cleaned up and turned into compost or whatever you do with it. But they are essentially good and serve a very necessary purpose for the vast majority of the corn or the wheat's life. It can be so easy to say, oh, those things that fall to the threshing room floor, that's just trash. But the reality is, without it, we would never have any corn. I think that part of what this pericope speaks to this morning is that in order to fully live as Christians, we have to be willing to look at those things in our lives that may have served very good purposes, that may have been integral to helping us become the people who God intends for us to be. But in order for us to truly flourish, they need to fall by the wayside. This chaff in our life might be certain thought patterns. You know, a very simple one: if you think that you need a glass of wine when you come home in the evening, or if you think you need several cups of coffee to get your day going, that might be true for me. But why do I have that thought pattern? Why have I come to that place that I rely on a hot beverage or an alcoholic beverage at the beginning or the end of my day? Or perhaps in relationships we develop thought patterns. Oh, that person is very, very prickly and sharp, so I need to protect myself. I need to keep that husk as tight as I possibly can around me, because when I interact with that person, I'm going to get zinged. Well, that might be true. We all have people in our lives where we're challenged to be open and to be vulnerable, and to encounter them in their full humanity. And perhaps letting the chaff fall in that relationship might be, instead of being fully protected around them and avoiding them or lashing out or whatever your customary pattern is allowing your defenses to drop and when the person zings you, which most likely will happen, have a different response. Ouch, that really hurts me. I'm afraid that if you're going to continue to speak to me that way, I can't be near you. A more open and direct relationship, as opposed to sheltering, defending. There are so many different aspects of our life that have served very good purposes, that have helped us become the people that God is calling us to be. And oftentimes those are the very same things that we have to be willing to peel back, to allow to fall to the floor, so that that soft and tender and beautifully sweet kernel of corn, nourishing grain of wheat, can take full life in us. The unquenchable fire that we read about today does not necessarily equate to a fire of judgment. Perhaps in the same way that the leaves fall off the tree and they compost on the forest floor, perhaps this fire is just a natural process of allowing things to burn off, to move through their useful life course, so that something else can come into its truest fruition. As we move into this Epiphany season, where we are reflecting on how the light of Christ comes into the world, into our lives, I pray that in that light, God will give you the grace to see any chaff that has fallen away, any chaff that is revealing some softness, some point of holiness in your life. And when you feel that it needs to be burned off, that you will have the courage to do that. God promises that whenever we lean into the light, into the love, into the hope and the peace that is brought into our lives by Christ, that we will find that sense of eternal life, that sense of wholeness and completeness. And may that process of winnowing, of allowing the chaff to fall away, be a natural and gentle one for you, and may it always reveal new life.